Well, hello everybody. God bless you. It's great to see you. And I do mean that. But we need to clear something up. Do we have what the Word of God says we have? Well, let's say it. I have what the Word of God says I have. Let me ask you this. Are you what the Word of God says you are? Well, let's say it. I am what the Word of God says I am. Let me ask you another question. Are you going to be what the Word of God says you're going to be?
Yes.
I will be what the Word of God says I will be. And can you do all things through Christ who strengthens? Even say it? You? Yeah, so let's say it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you have God's favor on your life?
Yes.
Do you ask for it every day? Do you thank Him for it every day?
Yeah.
Is it there when you forget?
Yep.
Yes. But let's say it anyway. I have God's favor on my life. Anybody want to try that in Spanish?
Yeah.
Sure, let's do it. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Man, I tell you, we're just coming in leaps and bounds. Let's talk about the stature of the soul. Turn to Genesis. Boy, this subject on the soul is so big that there's no way we can talk about it today in its entirety, but we can sure talk about it, at least somewhat. And I want you to understand some basic things as I get started so you can understand some bigger things by the time I'm finished. When God started man, He made, formed, and created man. There were three parts. I want everybody to say made, formed, and created 5 times with me. Made, form, created. 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 Now, hopefully you'll remember that. If not, say it 5 times again later. Okay. And what did He made, formed, and created but body, soul, and spirit? Body, soul, and spirit. Let's say 5 times. Body, soul, spirit. 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 Now, you just said 6 words, made, form, created, body, soul, and spirit, that most people know nothing about. And it causes an unbelievable amount of confusion in humanity. It's amazing how many problems come because people don't understand that the body, soul, and spirit were actually formed, made, and created. Because it's the body was formed out of the dust of the earth. Remember in Genesis, it says that God formed man. Hey, we could look at that. How about chapter 2? Do you know that God also formed all the beasts out of the earth? It's not just man. In fact, I'll show you the beast first. Verse 19 in chapter 2. And then we'll look at verse 7. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. All the animals were formed out of the ground. Okay? The bodies were formed. Bodies were formed. It's just like you taking a clump of clay and making something. A pitcher. A cup. Okay? The bodies were formed. Look in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Man was also formed out of the earth. So the body was formed. The body was formed. And the soul was made for man. It's the soul that was made. So here's one part over here. It's this hunk of flesh. That's the body, and it was formed. Then here you've got a soul, which most people know nothing about, and that's why you're drawing these big blanks right now. What? How does that look? How do we talk about that one? Huh? Anyway, that's the soul, and the soul is what was made in man. Okay? And then spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. The spirit was the part of God that God put in man, Adam and Eve. Well, that's the part that he took back out, too, when they blew it. And when he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, he took the spirit out. What were they left with? Body and soul. They still had the hunk of clay, and they still had the soul. You know, all the question marks, what was that? Okay. That's what they ended up with. So, body, soul, and spirit were formed, made, and created. Body, soul, and spirit were formed, made, and created. I want you to understand that. You've got to know that. I was talking to a wonderful friend of mine, ours, mine and Lynn's, and she's well on in her age, and she knows nothing of this, and yet been an avid churchgoer for decades. They just don't know this stuff, okay? Well, you need to know it. Okay, that's the foundation. Now, I want to show you a Hebrew word. It's called nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, and that's the Hebrew word in the Old Testament for soul. That's soul. Anytime you see the word soul, it's more than likely the word nephesh. And every time, if you're reading the Hebrew, you see nephesh, it's always supposed to be soul. And that's the middle part, the part that was made. Okay? And in the New Testament, in the Greek, it's the Greek word psuche. So you've got two words. You've got nephesh in the old, and psuche in the new, but both mean soul. So depending on which language you're looking at, you're going to run into those words. That's just a little bit of fact. You've also got life. Now, a lot of people think that soul is life, but it's not. Don't ever think that, because it's not. Soul is an entity. Soul is a substance in you. You have your body, but inside your body, you've got soul. It's an entity. It's a substance. Okay? It's a substance. And personally, I don't believe it's spiritual at all. I think it's a substance, and you'll see why I think that in a minute. But there's an additive to that, and the additive to that is chi. And that is a Hebrew word, and it means life. Now, that's spiritual. So you've got nephesh, which is this substance in your body that we translate into the word soul. If it doesn't have chi, it's not alive. A nephesh chi is an alive soul. Okay? And so if it's just nephesh, it's dead. It won't have chi unless chi is, number one, available and given to it. So nephesh chi is an alive soul. In the New Testament, it's called psuche zoe, and I've given you those words too, psuche zoe. That's just the Greek for the same thing. Okay. This life that I'm talking about is the very life that you contend with on a daily basis. This life is the very life, children, that your parents fight for in you. This life, adults, is the very life that you strive to hold on to. It's not your soul, though. It's life. And in essence, there's, if you want to separate them out, there's really a fourth part in man, life. Okay? There's two forms of this kind of life. One is the kind that lets you live, and the other is eternal. And I find that really amazing. Well, I want you to understand that you have within you Nefesh Chai, or Suke Zoe, however you'd like to say it, Hebrew or Greek, it doesn't matter. I prefer to say Nefesh Chai because that's what I've learned from and I know so well. Okay? So within you, you have Nefesh Chai. And this is the part of you that is so intricately woven into every fabric of your being. From your soul, now when I say soul from here on out, we're going to assume that it's alive, okay? So when I say soul, you think Nefesh Chai. From your soul emanates you. Not from your body. Your body reflects it. Your body manifests it. But your soul makes it. All of your desires come from your soul. Your thirst. Your hunger. Your love. Your weariness. It all comes from your soul. If you can understand that, you can understand how important it is to know how to protect it. To know how to preserve it. To know how to care for it. Many people focus on their bodies. That's all they know about. Quite honestly, they're not taught any more than that. Where'd you go to learn about your soul? You don't have anywhere to go. Not really. Oh, there's people that talk a little bit about it, but not from the Bible. It becomes very important to learn how to manage your soul. Now, we've talked about that before, but we'll talk a little bit about that again. It becomes very important to understand the significance of the role in life your soul plays. You have to know this. You can't just walk through life with your feet. That's bad. The Bible says, you've got to feed knowledge and wisdom into your soul, and that's how you walk. You don't walk with your feet. What that means is you just go do something without any thought. You don't do that. You have to have thinking. And the Bible is very clear about that when it says, teach your soul. Train your soul. I've taught you before, when you're holding the little baby Bambino here, and you're looking, oh, what a cute little baby, and you're thinking, well, I got to raise this body. And I said, you're not raising the body, you're raising the soul. Okay, you're raising the soul. Body's going to grow itself. You feed it, you wash it, it's going to be fine. If it gets sick, you go to the doctor, or you get ministered to, or something. Take care of it. Put it in bed for a while. Put that old body in bed for a while, you know. Why? Because there are many, many things that affect the soul. If you're supposed to protect your soul, if you're supposed to take care of your soul, it's because things are bombarding it. Things are attacking it. Things are trying to hurt it. Oh, they might hurt. You might get a little cut on your body, you know. Oh, I scraped my hand. Look, I got a boo-boo right here, you know. I was working on my car the other night. I guess it kind of bothered my soul, but it wasn't that big of a deal. When I broke my neck, it was. That was a big deal. My soul was troubled. There are things out there that are designed to hurt your soul. I'd like you to turn to Leviticus because I want you to learn one more interesting fact about your soul. Where in the world is it in your body? Where in your body does it reside? Interesting, huh? Is it kind of like this cloud that I can't see that starts up here and goes all the way down to my tootsies? Where is that soul? Oh, that's easy. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17, 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, do you know that the word life is this little word up here called nephesh? Now, what does that tell you? For the soul of the flesh is in the blood. That's where the soul is. The nephesh is in the blood. That's where it is. Your soul is in your blood. And that's why sacrifices were such a big deal. Because there was blood involved with that. And there's a whole lot of things that go along with what's in the blood. But the soul was built into the blood, and it's still there to this day. Your soul is in your blood. Okay. If you can't get the blood to a certain part of your body, that part of the body dies. Like, remember the guy that had his arm pinned under a boulder and he had to cut it off, but the rest of his body stayed alive? That soul conveys the life out to everything. Now that chi, that life, is part of you as long as you're alive. And you know how Adam got it? It says that God breathed the breath of life into him. There was Adam laying on the ground. God had formed him out of the dust of the ground. So now you had this handsome old Adam laying there, full of blood, full of nephesh, but he wasn't kicking. Had to get him ticking. Crank him up. Get him started. And the Bible says that God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. That's what he did. That's when chi came on the scene. And so this chi and this nephesh is transferred when you have babies. That's how it moves on. That's it. Now, there's things that wear down the soul. And we have to be aware of those things. Look in Job chapter 10. Mamas and papas, you're always screaming at your kids because you want them to do this and to do that. Kids are always screaming back, "Leave me alone." That's the worst thing a kid could ever say. Because a kid cannot train his soul unless the kid knows all this stuff. Now, if a kid did know all this stuff, for instance, Jesus, when he was 13 years old, Jesus, when he was 12 years old in the temple, he had more knowledge than all those guys put together. I'd say he was quite an exception. But I don't know any other kid that knows all this stuff that knows how to train their soul. In Job chapter 10, verse 1, my soul is weary of my life. There you got soul and you have life. Isn't that something? You have life within you. If you knew how to do it, you could just let it go. Go, life, leave me. That's easier said than done. But it's a separate entity. It's something separate inside of you. My soul is weary of my life. How many times have you felt so weary, so depressed, so upset, you just wish you weren't alive anymore, but you knew you couldn't do anything about that part? The life was still there. It's not leaving just because you're upset. It's not leaving just because you're a little depressed. It's not leaving because you just went through a harrowing experience. But they are at odds against each other at times. My soul is weary of my life. And I just thought that was really something. I will leave my complaint upon myself. Okay, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to keep this thing. Boy, am I ever weary. It's the soul that gets weary, okay? All your desires, all your feelings, all your longings emanate from the soul. It's just amazing how it works. That's where it comes from. Now, you got a brain that works right within the body and the soul and everything there so that you can direct the soul, so that you can recognize the soul, so that you can deal with the soul. But it's just like training a dog. How many of you have ever trained a dog? Even just sit Rover or taking him to school. But if you had any experience, how many have you trained a potty trained a rabbit? Okay, you know you can do that, I guess.
You can.
You can. Not on the toilet, but in their little box thing, I guess. But you can do it. Now, how can you do that? Because those things have souls too. You work with their brain. You work with their thinking. At first it's thinking, and then you finally get them potty trained and everything's all right. When you're training that dog, sit, Rover. Stop. And over, well, pretty soon, his mind starts to recognize what you're saying, and he makes his soul obey. That's how it works. There's no spirit with the dog. In other words, he doesn't have nine manifestations and the ability to minister to people and live an upright life before God. Not even a Christian. But you train the dog. His mind commands the soul. Even a dog can do it. That's what you do with kids. Mom and dad are always saying, kids, be like this. Kids, do this. Kids, listen. Kids, blah, blah, blah. And what the parents are trying to do is to get the kid to wrap his or her arms around the soul and make it obey. These are the longings you should have. These are the feelings that you ought to manifest. This is how you control your anger. It's all designed to train the soul. It's the soul that serves God, not your body. Your body is a vehicle. Do you know that you can look at your body in two different ways? You can say your body is for the soul, or you can say your soul is for the body. Now, which one do you think it is? Is the car for the gas, or the gas for the car? You see, that's an interesting conversation, I suppose. But I'm an advocate that the mouth is for the soul. and that every labor in life is for the mouth. I advocate that. Now you might think, what are you talking about? Okay, I'll show you a verse. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 7. I want you to see this, because it's hidden. But I want you, what I'm really trying to lay before you is the impact your soul has on your life and the recognition that you have to have of that. You must understand that you're kind of like, you know, when we train an animal, you got to train yourself like that too and live an upright life and avoid things that are wrong and obey your master and all that. You have to become like that. And you kids don't have any right to fight it. You got to understand that this is the way of life. Because if you don't get this part, you're in for trouble down the road. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7, all the labor of man is for his mouth. That's what it's for, drinking and eating. Everything that you do, ultimately, is for your mouth. Everything. How you take care of yourself, your schooling, your ethics, your activities, your friends, your family, everything is for your mouth. You can say, well, I'm a career person. And I love my job. Yeah? But it's for your mouth. When all is said and done, it's for your mouth. Sure. And yet the appetite is not filled. That word appetite is the word soul. All of your labor is for your mouth, and yet the soul is not filled. Unless you have the Word of God, that is. So as you work your life, you're doing it to feed yourself. You're doing it to feed your family. And you can have a beautiful house full of all your museum pieces. That's how I say it. Everybody's house is like a museum around here. They all think they have to go buy everything from Sam's. And, oh, look what I have. I tell you what, if you woke up in the morning and there wasn't any food in there, you'd have a real problem. So all the labor of man is for his mouth. Yeah. Well, a lot of people are like that. And yet the soul is not filled. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. You have to be soul-minded. You know, they say that beauty is only skin deep. I'd like you to believe that. Beauty is only skin deep, folks. I know everybody's concerned about the way that I'm concerned about the way I look. You know, I want to look good. I'm concerned. I think about it. I changed my clothes, what, 3 times this morning. Kept saying, Lynn? No. I was trying to do something and it just didn't work. Lynn? No. That's not the Jack look. You know, the guy on Sue Thomas, FBI. I like those sweaters he wears. Anyway, she goes, they're a little too big. You need to have smaller. Okay. Take everything off again. Run upstairs. No, I ran upstairs first, then I took it all off. And I said, well, I'll just wear this. Lynn? Jeremy? Because these are his jeans. Okay, we'll go with that one. And then I said, well, I really wanted to wear this and this. And, of course, Lynn then ironed everything. I didn't know she was going to do that, but because I thought I was going to wear these clothes. Anyway, come up, ran upstairs again, and there's new clothes laying on the bed. That would have been the fourth time. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to stick with this today. And then I told her, I said, you know, that maroon shirt wasn't the one I was talking about. It was the other one. So I went back downstairs, and there she is ironing again. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. That would have been the fifth time. I really care about myself. I know you do too. But folks, beauty is only skin deep. Because it doesn't have anything to do with the soul. And the soul is what God looks at. God looks at your soul. It's your soul that you're supposed to whip into shape, that you're supposed to keep upright, that you're supposed to train, that's supposed to serve God, that's supposed to love people, that's not supposed to join with wickedness or evil. That's an interesting aspect of the soul, because souls join up. People really get off on the fact that groups of people get together, right? Look at all these people, all these bodies in the same room. Isn't that great? Maybe. What could be a problem is if they have evil intent and those souls unite, because souls unite. And they unite and stay that way. That's the problem. And you're supposed to train your soul so that you don't unite with evil, so that you don't belly up to the bad boys bar and become that way. Because that's what souls do. They become ways. And God's given us two ways. He's given us the way of life, and He's given us the way of death. And so your entire life, you have to deal with this. If you can't get past the beauty of the skin, you have trouble. I care about myself, and I know you do too. But that is such a small part of life, folks. The biggest part is your soul. The biggest part is, how do you manage your soul? Where are you sending it today? Look in Proverbs chapter 19. Don't you find this stuff interesting? I want you to feel that you have direction. I want you to feel that you really have a leg up on life. Don't you want to feel like that? I would. I want you to get past the physical. Look at all the different body types in here. Look at everybody. Oh my gosh, there's no miracle standard here. You got what you got, because that's what you got. Okay? But what about the soul? Now, that's different. You are the way you are because that's how you allowed yourself to become. That is so different than the physical. Your body is your body. That's the way it is. You can exercise, you can eat right, but it's still going to be your body, and it's going to be kind of like that, okay? Not so with the soul. Hear me loud and clear, folks. Not so with the soul. You have to train your soul to be upright, to be just, to have a full Christian stature. And so, you might be trying to make yourself look all pretty or handsome or whatever, but if you're just letting your soul go into the slop bucket, that's bad. Because that's the part that you can change everything about. You can change everything about your soul. You can change your weariness. You can change your anger, your faintness, your hunger, your thirst. You can affect your desires, your longings, your feelings. You can change everything and anything about your soul. And that's one of the reasons I started off with made for and created body, soul, and spirit. I want you to see that they're completely separated. And that way, if you're having a weariness problem, if you're troubled, if you're vexed, if you're being attacked and you just feel hopeless or any of that stuff, for the love of God, do something about it. Okay? You. Do something. It's your soul. It's this entity within you that is so moldable, and it's so trainable, it's so directable. You can order it around. You can command obedience. Not so with your body. Fat, go away. Uh-oh, it's still there. You know, pimples, leave.
Ooh, still there. You know, hair grow back. Not still there. Anger, stop. Be peaceful. Pray. Trust in God. Have faith, brother, as they like to say. The just shall live by faith, but that means believing. Believing in the way of life, living according to those ways of life, in the pathway of life, drinking from the fountain of life, and living according to the light of life. Yes, that's all controllable. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Oh, you should be so enthused. Your soul should just be bouncing around inside of you. Your heart should be racing, pumping that nepesh all around. Yeah, this is how we're going to be. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. Where does your knowledge end up? When you're sitting in school? In your soul. That's the way it works. You think, no, it's in my mind. Oh yeah, it's in your mind, but it's in your soul too. Because the knowledge transfers from the mind into the soul. And then the soul becomes a way, according to life or death. And he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. Oh my gosh. Think about that for a minute. He that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. If you're not doing something according to God's knowledge, or proven knowledge that's good, but you're doing something, you're running off with your feet. You're hastiness with your feet. That's what you're doing. In other words, there's no knowledge to back you up. Don't do that. Why? He sinneth. But Jerry, you said that we're all forgiven. Oh, we are. But now we're talking about the soul. Jeremy, I'd like you to get up and start beating yourself. Go ahead, just start beating yourself. I don't even see his toes moving. It's so innate to man to protect himself. That's good. Thank you for not beating yourself. Okay? It's so innate to man to attempt to remove soul vexation. Vexation is when you're being attacked, okay? You're being vexed. The devil likes to use that word a lot, you know, which is vex and hex and whatever they do. But the point is, you naturally avoid vexation of the soul. You naturally avoid letting things hurt your soul. If you're doing things that are sinful, in other words, they're not just in God's eyes, they're not of an upright behavior, you are hurting yourself. And it's just like beating yourself, but it's on your soul. And that's where your weariness comes from. So if you're allowing things to come into your life that make you feel all the negatives, just write the list, okay? All the negatives, you're being vexed. You're being flogged by outside sources, and it's your soul that's taking the pain. It's not your body. Your body shows the pain, like you look worried, or you're sick, or you're frustrated, or there's no smile, or whatever. But it's your soul that's being vexed. You have to strive to not sin. So there's two aspects of sin. One is that if we sin against God, we're forgiven. Two, if we sin against our soul, we hurt. We're hurting. We're in pain. We could be depressed. We could be fearful. We could be worrisome. That's all in the soul category, and it's caused by sin, which means doing that which is wrong. So if you're hurting, you've already done something wrong. And you just have to stop it. You have to figure out what it is, and you already know, and then you just stop it. Verse 8. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. You guys should be so intent on studying God's word and acquiring God's wisdom. That proves to God, that proves to you and everybody else that you love your soul. Because your soul is something that you want to love. When I decided I wanted Lynn to marry me, and I wanted to marry Lynn, it wasn't all about our bodies. Now, I know our bodies are just unbelievable, okay? They are just so good. Just kidding. Well, okay. But it was our soul that attracted our souls to each other. I liked her soul and she liked my soul. Body was great. I'm glad it came along. But she could have been a paraplegic. And if I liked her soul, I would have loved her still. Do you understand that? Doesn't have anything to do with the body. Get off the body. You know that your bodies change. And if you think that it's all about the body, well, you're going to be in for a real surprise one day when you wake up at 85 and take a look. Okay? But the beauty of love is that it's between souls. And so you find somebody's soul. You search after a soul. That's what the devil does. He's always trying to steal souls. In other words, get them to be bad. Okay? That's what evil people do. They're always trying to wrap in souls. That's what prostitutes do, the Bible says. They try to get souls and ruin them. Well, when you get married or you want to get married, you're looking for a soul. Forget the body. Just stop thinking about the body. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. It's all about the soul. Look in verse 16. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. If you really want to see your soul preserved. Now the Bible says that God keeps your soul in the bundle of life. He protects you. Okay? You don't have a lot to worry about. But you got to have a lot of training to do. But it's the Word of God that enables your soul to be protected. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die, the ways of God. Chapter 21, Proverbs 21. I love this one. And there are so many other pointers, folks, and I could go on for hours on this. And you would be thrilled if your soul wasn't getting tired. I always think that's kind of funny because, you know, somebody says, well, I'm tired. Okay? Well, it's not your body that's tired. You know, this one guy was signing autographs. And every time he signed an autograph, he'd draw a picture of the kind of car they had. It was an automotive show. And after 6 hours of this, he had to stop because his hand was cramping up. Okay. That wasn't his soul. It was a cramp in his hand and arm and wrist. And he said, you got to give me like 30 minutes break here just so I can relax my hand. 30 minutes later, he worked another 4.5 hours. Nothing with his soul. But somebody comes and says, I'm so tired. Parents go through this with their kids all the time. Oh, I'm tired. I can't do anything. I can't work. Look at me. And there's nothing wrong with their body. It's all soul. It's all soul. Their soul is weary. They're not reading the word. They're not keeping the word. They're not doing something with the life that comes from the word. Isn't that something? It's not the body, though. What's wrong with your body? Nothing. If you're tired, it's probably 8 or 9 at night. But if you're depressed, it could be any time of the day, and that's all about your soul. So keep them separated. And if you, mom says, hey, honey, come and do this. I need your help. Oh, I'm so tired. I can't. Ah. Oh. Of course, there's no pain. You be big enough to say, soul, get your you-know-what in gear. Let's change you. Treat it like you're training a German shepherd. Back, back, back. Heel. Down. Up. Run. Walk. Stay. Do it. If you kids get to the place where you master this, oh my gosh, what a life you'll have to live. You'll understand the difference between physical trauma and soul trauma. So don't try to pawn off, and now I speak to everybody, I'm not just going to beat your kids up, okay? Don't try to pawn off weariness on your body. I can't get my bones out of bed. Well, wait a minute. Is it a physical problem? Well, let's go down to the doctor. Is it a soul problem? Well, let's open up the Bible. Separate them. I told you. Made, formed, and created. Is it physical? See, this is what gets people when they get old. And their bodies do start to give out. But there's nothing wrong with their soul. Except that it's vexed with pain from their body, let's say. And that starts to wear the soul out. And at some point, that chi leaves. Okay? Because it can only take so much of that. It's the nature of it. Keep them separate. But in chapter 21, verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Keepeth what? His big toe from troubles? Keepeth his best friend from troubles? Keepeth his hairdo from troubles? No. Soul. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, mouth. If you keep it closed, you're going to stop troubling your soul. If you open it, control this thing, the tongue, better be careful what comes out, because it could bring trouble right back to your soul. Whoever controls the mouth and tongue keeps the soul from troubles. How many of you have troubles in your soul? You know, it's not physical. Then the only other place it could be is soul. Okay? If you have troubles and it's not physical, look at what your mouth does and your tongue does. Wow, isn't that something? This is God's Word. Chapter 22, verse 5. And I want to close with this. I want you to understand that you need to go to the Word of God and feed that knowledge and that wisdom into you all the time. That's what feeds your soul. That's what strengthens your soul. And there's so much more. Gosh, there's no way to get into all of it. And I wish I could, but there's just no more time. Not right now. But you know that you can go to the Word. You must start going to Word. You kids ought to be opening the Bible and reading it every day. You are foolish if you don't. One day your parents won't be around to bug you, but you're going to have to deal with your own troubles. And there's no way other than God's word to truly remedy, fix, repair a troubled soul. There's other things, but it all stems from the Word. A wonderful relationship still stems from the Word. Ministering life still stems from the Word. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them. That's what it says. That's what it means. But in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. The people that don't do God's word. Thorns and snares. You ever walk through thorns and snares? Ow! 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 Ooh! Ah! You want to have a life like that? I don't. You don't. I know you don't. And when you raise your kids, I know you won't want them to have it either. You got to have it figured out, though, by that time. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Let's address the soul in our lives, folks. Think of the German shepherd. Sit, heel, back, stay, run, jump, roll over. Make it obey. Make it become obedient. Make it become upright. Give it a Christian stature. Oh, your physical stature may not be as great as you'd like, but you can't do anything about that. Can any man add? No. Not possible. But can you control your soul? Yes. Yes. And that's your license to liberty and life. That's what brings you out into the forefront of anything and everything. And nobody can control your soul but you. You might not like what you look like. You might not like your hairdo. You might not like the little rolls of this or that you got on your body. And maybe you can't even do anything about those things. But you know something? You can do everything and anything about your soul. So if you really want to become the person God wants you to be, and you should want that, I think you do, then you pay attention to this. You pay attention to the soul, and you bring it into obedience. And that way, those thorns and those snares, the things designed to vex your life and to literally suck the life out of you, to the point that your mouth is in the dust, they won't have anything to do with you. You will be that super Christian conqueror with that super soul stature. Thank you. You're welcome.